Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. Live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Big stuff going on. Alex Curry filling in for Joy Taylor today. Alex has done a lot of work for Fox and baseball. Fernando Tatis, you must love that. Got $340 million, 14 years. You know what's funny about that trade? It's one of the few big trades I actually like because he's 22. Mm-hmm. So when Pujols signed with the Angels, he was like 32.
The big deal.
Yeah, the big deal contracts, yeah. Which I don't generally like.
Yeah.
But Cabrera signed with the Tigers, he was 33. Mm-hmm. And Pujols signs with the Angels, he's 32. And then when Cano signed with the Mariners, you're like, he didn't want to play there. He just wanted the money. This is a 22-year-old who's going to sell a ton of merchandise because he's not only great, but he's flashy.
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of this contract, he's 35 years old. So he'll be out of his prime, but he'll still be a viable player because he's got power. So it's like, this is one of the rare baseball moves. I'm like, oh no, this one makes sense. He's great. He's flashy. He makes an irrelevant franchise relevant. He's going to sell a ton of merchandise. And they're signing him when he's a kid.
They're going to get his best years. Yeah. They're getting his prime years, which is not usually what you get.
No.
You usually get it after. You get the big deal after you have those amazing years.
Yeah. It works that way in baseball a lot of times. You get paid when you're like middle or near the end of your prime. You could argue this will be his first year in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And in baseball primes, unless you're a pitcher, baseball primes last about 7 to 8 years. So that's over half the contract. Yeah, 27.
You're getting up there and then hitting the peak and then 30s.
So good for them.
Yeah.
All right. So let me just talk about Carson Wentz has been traded to the Colts. And I saw this stat just a little bit ago. With the Wentz trade, there is now not a single quarterback drafted in the first round from 2009 to 2016 that is still with its original team. So that's 0 out of 22. Meaning quarterbacks in the NFL are now like every other player. They get moved. The NFL's never been a bigger business. And when businesses get big, there's a lot more pressure. And when there's more pressure, people move off stuff quicker. So you got two things happening in the NFL. Everything's $1 billion now. There's no more $1 million teams. It's all $1 billion teams. There's more pressure on the GM. There's more pressure on the coach. And what's that mean? You're going to move off players. You got to win now. And, you know, like Philadelphia, they got a Super Bowl, and that's why, you know, that's going to, very rarely does a coach get fired after that. And they had such a bad relationship between GM and coach, they fired the coach. But it's a win-now league. And we've always understood that, but I think more than ever, build it to win now and deal with salary cap and draft picks, figure it out later. So 22 quarterbacks drafted first round from 09 to 2016, none are with their teams. And it's become a very transactional league. And if you're not good, it doesn't mean your career's over, but people are going to move off you. And people have moved off players in the NFL forever. They just didn't move off quarterbacks. They didn't hit the market. Now they hit the market. You know, it's funny. At the start of the year, I can remember going on a rant. Joy was here. I went on a rant in like August, and I'm like, we're getting to a saturation point. There's like three teams that need a quarterback. By the end of this year, Breeze is going to retire. Big Ben should. Wentz dovetailed. And you look up and you're like, 9, 10 teams need a quarterback. So, and there's not 9 or 10 guarantees on the market. Wentz has injury history. Mariota does. Sam Darnold has regressed. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, is he a bust? You know, Pittsburgh signs him. You cross your finger. You got all these rookie quarterbacks. There's people can say whatever they want, but Wentz to me is actually the surest thing on the market because Garoppolo can't get to week 3 without injuries. Darnold's regressed. Mariota can't stay healthy. You have no idea with the rookie quarterbacks. The two quarterbacks in all the available quarterbacks that I feel strongest about are Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. He's going to be great. And then Carson Wentz, who was great and just needs to be tweaked. So, you know, you got nine teams need a quarterback. The two surest bets, the Colts just got one. The Jags will get the other. There you go. By the way, I saw a story this morning that I just rolled my eyes. We do this all the time. Multiple teams, according to a report, have Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Talk to the hand. Stop. We did this with Zion. Good God. Zion was a guaranteed number one. He just physically looked different. He can't shoot. He's fat. It's a point guard league. I said the same thing. He's going to walk into the NBA and be a top 20 player by the end of his first year. Don't outthink your eyes. Zion is 6'7", 285. Most of your centers are Euros. They don't want to take a charge. My only question was, can he get to be better at the free throw line? Because like Karl Malone, he's going to live at the free throw line. He is going to live at the free throw line because nobody, he initiates contact on every play. And aggressive offensive players generally get the calls, so do stars. So he's going to live at the free throw line. By the way, he's already shooting 7.5 free throws a night, and he leads the NBA easily in points in the paint. So he has become exactly what I thought, which was 24 a night, live at the free throw line, initiates contact. There's a rule in sports. Don't outthink your eyes. Zion, in a skinny league with a bunch of centers that wear skinny jeans, he is thick and aggressive and initiates contact. And as long as he can hit 75% of his free throws, he's going to give you 24 points a night. That's exactly what he's doing. Don't outthink your eyes. Trevor Lawrence, don't outthink your eyes. He's bigger than Zach Wilson. He's stronger than Zach Wilson. He runs better than Zach Wilson. He's got a better arm than Zach Wilson. He played better competition than Zach Wilson. The ball comes out of his hand faster than Zach Wilson. Don't outthink it. He's better than Zach Wilson. You got crazy town. Just you, Zion, Trevor Lawrence. You know, we pick all these kids apart. It's funny about this. As a broadcaster, I didn't feel really, I knew what the hell I was doing until I was like 33. You expect all these athletes at 22 to be these refined. It's not the way it works. We picked apart Andrew Luck. We picked apart Zion. We're picking apart Trevor Lawrence. They're kids. Good God, they're kids. Let them mature. They say your brain doesn't fully develop as a boy until you're 24. So let them grow a little bit. Andrew Luck went to Stanford. He made some of the dumbest throws his first 2 years in the league because he's a kid. And the game's fast. And the NFL's way faster than college. And the NBA's faster than college. And it takes you a year or two to catch up to the speed of the game. It's like AAA baseball to the bigs. You're like, oh, it's one step. No. No, I mean, you get to the eighth best pitcher on a major league staff, and he's your first or second best pitcher on a AAA staff. There are no easy hits in Major League Baseball. Everybody's throwing 94, and the ball moves with everybody, or you stay in AAA. All right, let's go to Dwight Freeney, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. 16 years, 7 Pro Bowls, 11 years with the Colts. He is now joining us live. Super Bowl champ as well. Well, Dwight, the Colts made a little move today.
Yeah.
I love it. I feel the same way. You know, it's interesting. The Colts aren't known for big, splashy moves. But this is, they're going out there. Carson Wentz, he regressed. Are you concerned at all, Dwight, that he did regress last year? It's some bad tape on him.
Well, I mean, this is what I've always said. It's about system. The system that you play in, who's calling the plays for you, builds comfort, builds confidence. What he did with Frank in 2017, I think he had like 33 touchdowns or whatever, and you know, less than 10 interceptions. He had a great statistical year. It's no surprise that Frank wanted to bring him in because they gel together very well. It's no different when I was talking about Phillip Rivers. When Phillip, the year before he went to Indianapolis, he had like 20 interceptions or something like that, didn't have a great year. Then he goes into a system where Frank has really understands Phillip because he was with him in San Diego, and they have a good statistical year.
You know, it's funny. The Colts culture is a little like Green Bay. They're not going to get into bidding wars. They're going to ask you to suppress your ego. They're going to coach you hard. Do you think Wentz psychologically fits? I mean, you were not pampered there. I mean, Dwight, you're a Hall of Fame player. Even Peyton, they'll coach you hard in Indy. They're not going to pamper you in Indy. Do you? You know, there's a lot of stories out there that Carson doesn't like to be hard coached. What do you make about that? Because Indy has their own culture.
Oh, absolutely, but you got to understand, this is different eras. Okay, we're talking about Bill Polian, Tony Dungy, 15 years ago. Culture of the NFL and what it was then to what it is now. Okay. And Frank, yes, he takes a little bit of that, but I'm sure he has a little bit of that success in what happened in Philadelphia and kind of injected it into the new Colts, you know, culture. And I'm not exactly sure how they coach, but I'm sure it's not how it used to be back in the day where you can just take a quarterback's head off, right? And you could be violent and be intimidating on defense. And the same thing on the offensive game. So I think the culture is probably going to be similar to what he's used to. He spent a lot of time with Frank. Frank is going to be the guy who probably is going to be coaching him the most. All right. So you have to understand is there a lot of familiarity there. And I think that the system that they're in is going to breed for success. So I'm not really worried about the culture per se. Back in the day compared to now, yes. But this is now. And it's going to be completely different.
By the way, second most sacks in Colts history. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. The great Dwight Freeney is joining us. I want to talk about J.J. Watt's on the market. And I want you to talk as you aged, and I've said this before. There are times I've criticized an athlete, rarely, but it's a money grab. I always use Robinson Cano went from the Yankees to the Mariners. I'm from Seattle. I know he didn't want to play for the Mariners. He wanted the money. And about a year into it, he's like, get me the hell out of here. I want to go win games. Yeah. So there are times when you're like, okay, you're just doing a money grab. But J.J. Watt's different. First of all, he's one of the few defensive guys with a brand. Yep. He has – I look at him and I think, listen – if five good teams want me, I'm just going to go where the money's better, and I don't think Green Bay is going to get into a bidding war. Take me into the mind of a pass rusher, J.J. Watt. You defensive guys, you don't get big money as much. You don't have the big brands. Do you think money maybe J.J.'s like, hey, these offensive guys ain't giving up lettuce. I'm not going to give up any money.
You know what? I think it's a mixture of both. To be quite honest with you, you know, as an athlete, you know, you have your, it's no different than your regular employee for your, you know, in life where you're trying to get hired by a new business or company. You want more money. It is no different than the athlete. All right. The athlete has his brand and he wants to build his brand. And obviously he wants to make as much money as he possibly can. The difference is when athletes, their window is so short compared to other folks when they, you know, they can work until they're 50. But obviously the difference is a lot of more money is given to the athlete. But it's no different. You want to make sure that you protect your family and get as much as you can for whatever you want to do in the future. But that being said, it's not all about the money. Okay. I'm sure JJ wants to get into a situation to where as though he's familiar with the scheme. Okay, he knows who he's playing with, what type of play calls, how much playing time he's going to get. And the thing is, it's not always about how many sacks you're going to get. You know, when you're trying to find a guy like JJ, he might just change the culture as far as a leader is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, you may want somebody in there to coach up the younger guys. A lot of times that was being brought in, yes, to play on third down and what have you, but it was also to help the younger guys behind me learn how to be a professional, right? And experience is like no other in the NFL, okay? And JJ has played a long time, and you learn so much more from just being out there and experiencing the game rather than just giving your money and all your whatever playing time to a younger guy. JJ's been through it. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. But I think it is a little bit mixture of both.
You know, it's interesting. I think it's time for the Steelers to move off of Big Ben. I think his game's deteriorated and he's really expensive. When you were with the Colts, it's interesting. At some point, my company's going to move off me. And it's going to be impossible for me to separate my emotions from reality, right? When you were at the end with the Colts, and they're like, listen, man, that's a lot of money. And Dwight, we love you, but you're out of your prime. Is it hard not to be offended or defensive for Big Ben or star players at the end of a run when you still want money, but the team feels like, listen, we got to reboot at your position?
It's almost impossible. Okay. I mean, I'm quite honest with you. I wish I had the conversation, you know, with my upper management about, hey, Dwight, do you want to take less money or what have you? Maybe I would have took it. Maybe I would have been like, you know what? Screw you guys. You guys don't see my worth. I'll go somewhere else. But we never had that conversation because it was new management. All right. So the new management came in and just said, hey, Dwight, hey, it's been great. We're going in a different direction. All right. So the thing is, once you played like for so long at such a high level, the reason why you're there is because you think and you believe you can continue to do this. This is what helps you succeed in going out there at whatever age, 33, 34, 35, and continue to do great things because you have that mentality. All right. So most guys, you know, I'm sure JJ believes, and it might be true, that he can still be as dominant as he used to be 6-7 years ago. Getting it, put it in the right system, maybe he can be. But the problem is, I don't know if the management, wherever he's going to go, is going to believe that. And they, you know, they're so into this whole thing. The older you get, you're gonna get it hurt. You're gonna get this. You're gonna get that. We have to groom the younger guy. So this is what he's going to, you know, is going to come against. You know, and it may be a problem for him. That's why I say it's very important he goes to a place that he really loves the system and loves where he is.
By the way, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. You had 126 sacks in your career. Do you remember the quarterback you sacked the most?
Ooh, man, let's see. You know what? I think David Carr has to be up there. I'm not exactly sure if he is. He number one.
He's tied. David, he's tied for number 17. Yes, he is.
Listen. I love playing David. You know, and I when I see him on NFL Network. We joke around a lot. You know, about how those days were. He didn't have a chance. Okay, they didn't have a great system for him. It wasn't set up for him. And for me, it was like strictly a statistical game. I couldn't wait to just wait to third down to go ahead and tackle David.
All right. By the way, third and long Madden tournament starts March 1st with Dwight Freeney. Football fans from 13 to 35, Madden NFL 21. It's called Third and Long Madden Tournament with Dwight Freeney. Great to have you on today as a Colt. I think it's a good day for the organization. I feel the same way. I kind of feel like they won 11. I feel like Carson's at least another win and a half.
Yep.
That's kind of how I feel this morning. So third and long Madden tournament starts March 1st. Dwight Freeney, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. Take care.
You bet. By the way, the other guy that he sacked the most also played for the Texans, Matt Schaub. So our Greg Tuohy, our producer, David Carr and Matt Schaub, Dwight Freeney feasted on him. Well, they say in baseball, 300 hitters get most of their hits off the number 3 and 4 starters, not the ace. So he took advantage. All right, we got a lot of stuff today. Carson Wentz is now a Colt. Bruce Arians next hour. He may join us on the golf course, but he's going to join us nonetheless.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on Fox, the NASCAR Cup Series returns to Daytona as Chase Elliott looks to defend his win at the 14-turn road course. All action starts Sunday at 3 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
By the way, Lance Briggs, a great, like Dwight Freeney, a dominating player in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. He's our second leading tackler all time. That's saying a lot for the Bears. He'll be joining us this hour. He does some media in Chicago. He's another Hall of Fame guy that's going to get votes. It'll be interesting because Chicago and the Colts were the two teams to get Carson Wentz, but Wentz had made it clear, I don't want to go play in Chicago. So Chicago's got themselves a quarterback quandary because Trubisky's won, but there's a ceiling, and Nick Foles is not the answer. So, you know, we got a lot of really interesting teams. This is why I don't believe the Cowboys will move off Dak, and I don't believe the Niners are going to move off Garoppolo. We got 8-9 teams need a quarterback, and we don't have 8 or 9 Carson Wentzes. So the idea that you're just going to move off Garoppolo, What's the solution? I don't buy that. I think Kyle Shanahan knows I can't win games without him. And by the way, the Rams are now better in your division. Kyler Murray's getting better, and Seattle's not going away. So if you're San Francisco and you move off him, what's the upgrade? You know, the NFC West right now is the best division in football. It's the best division in football. It's certainly the best quarterback division between Garoppolo, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Matt Stafford. So you can't go into a season without answers. And Garoppolo knows the system. You cross your fingers on his health. So that's where we're at. Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Let's get her mic on. Here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
On? Yeah?
Yeah, there you
go. You got me now?
Yep.
All right. Well, the big news of the day is that the Eagles have reportedly traded Carson Wentz to the Colts for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first-rounder. Now, the two teams have been in talks towards a deal for a couple weeks, and Wentz will now be reunited with his former offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, in Indy. Now, I think this is perfect for Wentz. You've named a lot of great reasons, but I think the fact that he feels wanted is huge. When you feel wanted, you build confidence. And for a young player, when you have confidence, that can completely change your game. It can change your mindset. It changes everything in any industry, any relationship. We all want to feel wanted.
Right. And I think in the end in Philadelphia, he didn't. And, you know, a lot of people said it was Doug Peterson, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh, it's Doug Peterson. But when Doug got fired, Carson Wentz still wanted out. So it's not about Doug Peterson. He just, you know, it's quite possible, and this happens.
Yeah.
Everybody's taken a job in their life. I've been lucky. I've only done it once. Where you take a job and you kind of know instantly it's not a great fit. Well, these kids get drafted to teams, so they don't even get a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Carson Wentz, it's a loud market. It's an aggressive market. There were missteps. He didn't trust the front office. Everybody thought it was Doug Peterson. Doug got fired. He still didn't want to be there. So it tells you this was never really, and it's okay, it wasn't an ideal fit.
No. And speaking on the being wanted train, there have been plenty of suitors for J.J. Watt during his first run as a free agent. Now, many teams made their interests known, and the Bills are one of them. Buffalo's coming off an impressive 13-3 season with a trip to the AFC title game. And the interest between the two sides is reportedly mutual. Now, we've heard a lot of teams and players have this Watt free agency fever, as they should.
Sure.
You mentioned he has a great, strong brand, but he's also a great team player. He's a great guy in the community. He brings so much to the table that's only going to build that franchise's brand. And then on top of it, think about it. This is the first time he's really been courted since he was a prospect in 2007, and he wasn't recruited highly then. So this is a big deal for him. This is, again, people showing that they want him. And he wants to feel wanted.
Yeah, I mean, he was a late bloomer as a recruit.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin offered him. I could be wrong on this. I thought he was a walk-on somewhere. And I don't know if it was Wisconsin or it was Central Michigan or something. He played tight end. So, listen, there's nothing wrong. This happens all the time. You know, even LeBron James, when he was leaving Cleveland, one-year deals, Philadelphia wanted him. Houston wanted him. That's okay.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard wanted to be recruited. Kevin Durant liked it. JJ wants to feel a little love. By the way, schematically, Tennessee could be the best fit. They desperately need a pass rusher. And frankly, he also fits their culture. He's a tough guy. He's a big, tough guy. It's a tough guy organization. So Tennessee may be a great fit for him.
There's a lot of suitors, and it's going to be fun.
Yep.
I'm happy for him.
So am I.
Yeah. Well, we got more big deal news today. The Padres have locked in their star shortstop, Fernando Tatis Jr. For the foreseeable future, he has reportedly agreed to a 14-year, $340 million deal with San Diego. And this is the largest contract in Padres franchise history and the third largest in MLB history behind Mike Trout and Mookie Betts. He will also have a no-trade clause for the duration of the deal. But Colin, as we talked about earlier, this is such a big deal because they are getting Tatis in his prime.
And the numbers this morning I looked up, it's at $24 million a year, it's not outrageous. No. He also plays shortstop. Well, that's one of the three or four key positions in baseball. Pitcher, catcher, shortstop, center field. Like, that's a position you're going to pay the money to. So, and you know what? It also sends a message between Machado and Tatis. San Diego's going to play. They want to play in the bigs. And, you know, I was looking at these contracts. Here's what happens when you don't have a salary cap in a sport. Here's the highest paid contracts in recent years. Mike Trout, California. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts, Dodgers. Fernando Tatis, California. Giancarlo Stanton, New York. Gerrit Cole, New York. Manny Machado, California. You could say what you want about California taxes. The economy is strong in these big cities, and the franchise worth is growing faster in New York and L.A. than it is in Minnesota. And for San Diego to go in on Machado and Tatis, they're doing this because the numbers make sense. They feel like the TV deal with baseball, the tickets that you can charge more in California, people make more money. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have a salary cap, you're seeing Bryce Harper's the only big money contract right now, and that's in Philadelphia, which is also a big city. You know, baseball's a little lopsided right now. The Yankees will be good a little bit.
Yeah.
But leagues don't have a responsibility to televise all the teams.
No.
The bottom line, baseball is good when the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs, yep. Braves, it's good when those teams are good.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I also love about this is that he plays with flair. You don't see a ton of flair in baseball. They're getting better. They're slowly allowing players to show personality, but they're still obviously behind NBA and NFL. But this is a player that could be the face of Major League Baseball and bring in that younger generation, because that's what they need to do. That's kind of what they're losing. Make it fun. Make it entertaining again.
Yeah.
And he just sucks you in. You want to watch him. You want to see what he's going to do, because he's vibrant. He lights up the TV screen. He lights up the ballpark when you're there.
Yeah, and I think baseball, to its credit, has really, Rob Manfred has wanted to make it sort of a referendum in the last couple of years. Let the kids play.
Yeah, they're getting there.
Lighten up. Let the kids play. Listen, Mookie Betts is just more fun than most players. Let him play.
Yeah.
Want to showboat and look at a home run? I'm good with it. Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I thought it was interesting. Shady McCoy, who was talking about Tom Brady, and he didn't play a ton because Fournette and Ronald Jones took the majority of the carries, but he was on with Pat McAfee and talked about Brady's different than all other players.
He's the only player that I've ever been around that when he speaks, when he talks, I believe him. He could tell me, Shady, go walk on that water, you won't drown. I'm like, okay. The way he works, I wish when I was younger, I wish I worked as hard as he does. We just won a Super Bowl, and he's back training, doing little things. He's 43.
Yay.
He's dialed in, yo. He can play another 5 years. Just because, not only just the talent or the big arm and all that, it's just like, he gets it. He gets it.
You know, Brady's really interesting. He's no longer elevating his status. I mean, it's like Jeff Bezos making another billion. He won. He's rich. Like, Brady's got 7 rings. He won. He's the GOAT. But it is interesting. Could he affect other people's legacy? Like Patrick Mahomes, by the way. Tom's 2-0 against him. Tom beats him one more time, goes 3-0. I mean, Mahomes' only playoff losses are to Tom. He goes 3-0 against him. Mahomes can never say, you're better than Brady, because they played at the end. Aaron Rodgers. Tom now has as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers does, and he's played in the conference 1 year. So you do get to a point where I don't think Brady's elevating his brand. I think he's the GOAT. But I do think he could affect a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, a Mahomes. He can secure the fact that he just keeps a distance between them. This morning, it could be 6 champion world. It could be 6 Super Bowls to 2 instead of 7-1. It's hard to puncture that if you're Mahomes. So that's kind of the status he's at right now. All right, Lance Briggs, a great all-time Chicago Bear. The Bears lost out on Carson Wentz. What do they do at quarterback? They got a GM and a head coach many believe are on the hot seat. He'll be joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, he was a Pro Bowl linebacker 7 years of the 12 he played, and he played them all with the Bears. He's the second leading tackler in the history of franchise, and Chicago's had a lot of good players, most of them on defense, and Lance is right up there, Lance Briggs, and he's going to join us now, the seven-time Pro Bowler. Okay, so Carson Wentz was down to the Colts and the Bears. Wentz made it clear, I'd rather go to the Colts. Does that, Lance, concern you that a top quarterback didn't want anything to do with the Bears? Does that concern you?
Yeah, it concerns me because we need a quarterback. We need to change the situation that that we've had over the last 3-4 years. And Carson Wentz, he was the sign of change for the Bears. You know, he was something, a step in a different direction. You know, we could sign Carson Wentz. We can get a veteran quarterback, maybe Fitzmagic or something to back him up. Maybe we re-sign Trubisky at a lower rate, you know, as a backup. But we need something different in Chicago because what we've had isn't working.
You know, Trubisky's interesting. He wins games, but I always say this, Lance, you can't fool players. And I think in that locker room, they look around that division, they see Stafford used to, and they see Aaron. Do you believe Bear players think Trubisky has a future there? Or do you think they've kind of figured out, listen, there's a ceiling with Mitch?
I think everyone has realized that there's a ceiling with Mitch, and you know, it's hard to continue on with a quarterback when you know there's a ceiling when you're the opposing team and the marks on this quarterback are doesn't read defenses well, can create time with his feet. If guys are open, he can hit guys that are wide open. That isn't a recipe for success. And if that's the case, then look, it's time. It's time to get a guy that can come in and do all the things that your offensive coordinator can ask and not limit you to what you can do offensively.
Do you still trust the front office, Ryan Pace, and the coach? How do you trust them today?
I mean, what have they done to change what has happened in the past? The question marks for the Bears are, you know, we continue to pick or to fail in a lot of these picks. We pick quarterbacks. We move up. We get a Leonard Floyd who doesn't pan out for the Bears, but he's having a heck of a career now with the LA Rams.
Right.
You know, and it's weird how some of these things just aren't working out for the Bears. But the one thing that has been constant are the guys that pick the picks.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's things about Chicago I like. There's things Ryan Pace, I didn't like Trubisky out of college, so I said it then, I'll say it now. I thought it was a whiff. I do think Matt Nagy, I mean, listen, he's Trubisky's numbers in the last 3 years look like Jared Goff's. So right. Nagy can do something. How long, I'll throw a name out. Sam Darnold, if he signed today with the Bears, now that Wentz is off the market, Sam Darnold, does that work for you?
You know, at this point, we're biting and we're scratching a little bit here, and even a Sam Darnold at the right price can give some sort of new hope. You know, we got to have some sort of new hope in Chicago, and it's really going to have to come from a veteran quarterback because there's a lot that needs to be shored up on this offense. There's guys that need to be re-signed. The offensive line needs to be bolstered. You got to be able to protect these guys if you're going to bring them in as well.
Yeah. Would you be – what if Chicago moved up and got a rookie quarterback? Is that a turnoff for you?
With the personnel that they have now, I think it's imperative. And if you're going to keep the coaching staff, you're going to keep everybody in place, you need to win now. It is imperative that if you're going to do that this upcoming 2021 season, the Bears need to not only compete for winning the NFC North, but they need to solidify themselves in the postseason. So if that's the case, bringing in a rookie quarterback, that's a roll of the dice for me. You know, I think you're better suited to bring in, you know, somebody to help you bolster that offense, whether that be offensive line or as a playmaking receiver or running back.
You know, I want to ask you about J.J. Watt, you are a great defensive player, and very yeah. few defensive players get a brand. It just doesn't work that way. It's very rare. And J.J.'s got one. He's been very public. He's good on social media. He's done great charity. And I asked Dwight Freeney this 30 minutes ago. As a defensive player, you guys rarely get the big money and never get the love.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks, I don't blame J.J. Watt if he says, hey, I don't see wide receivers taking pay cuts. Part of me thinks, I'm not going to the Packers. They're not going to pay the most money. Take me to the psychology, Lance, of a defensive player that finally has a little market leverage, a little bit of a bidding war. Would you consider taking less for a winner, or are you just going and saying, give me the money?
I would take less for to be with a winner.
Okay.
At this point in my career, I would look at what I've accomplished up to now, how hard it is to get into the Super Bowl. It's as far as money goes, you've made enough money along your career that your money shouldn't be the driver of what you want to do next, your legacy. So if you're talking legacy, and legacy is most important, which would be to me, finding the right team that I believe that can compete for a championship.
You played all with the Bears 12 years. The NFL is becoming more like the NBA, where it's a very transactional league.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm for that. I've always been pro player. I've moved a bunch in my career. Why can't players move? Do you think your career would have been different if at some point you'd have said, hey, I'm going to go fight for this team and they got the right quarterback? Are you happy with your decisions? Because you were a leader. People liked you. If you'd have gone to the market, Lance, you'd have had a lot of suitors. Or are you satisfied with the time you played and the place you played?
Oh, I couldn't have asked for a better landing place, not for only from the draft, but until my last 2 years were a bit of turmoil with when the Trestman years
right.
came in, and just a big change. But I've always been happy with the Bears. I know that had I've gone somewhere else, I probably would have made more money. But it might be in a roll of the dice on the success of that defense and what we were preaching in the locker room in Chicago. I didn't know what that was like in any other locker room. So I was always happy. I've always been happy with my decision. And I love Chicago. It's been great to me. It's been great to my family. It's been great to the teammates. I wouldn't trade my decisions for anything.
Good. And by the way, you're smart enough to be in Arizona during the winter. I love Chicago too.
That was the good trade. That was a trade-off for me. So when we didn't make the playoffs, I had to come to Arizona to get out of that winter.
Don't blame it. You're an all-timer, Lance, and I appreciate you coming on our show. We'd love to have you on again, and thank you so much for stopping by the Herd.
I appreciate you, Colin. Have a good one, man.
All right, Lance Briggs, a great football player. He is Chicago. Rock-solid dude. Tough. He and Urlacher feel like Chicago. They're just Chicago guys. They're tough guys. So good for him. Most life-changing sleeps about what's underneath. Only a Casper mattress provides the cooling support of comfort and that refreshed feeling you're always seeking. Only a Casper mattress. Go to Casper.com. So Carson Wentz is officially an Indianapolis Colt. It broke right before our show. Now, many of you are insinuating that the segment I did yesterday on tampering is the reason he ended up with the Colts. As I said yesterday, it is illegal for the Colts to talk to Wentz. It's illegal for the Colts to talk to Wentz's agent, but it's not illegal for me to do a rant telling him to say no to Chicago. Therefore, the Colts can give up less and then just tagging Carson Wentz. So that's what we did. And it does seem strange that 24 hours later, he ends up exactly where I wanted him to go. I in no way am suggesting I run the league. But stranger things could be claimed today. It does appear my tampering segment had some little push to Carson Wentz going to the Colts. Hey, very powerful show, what can we say? It's fun. Listen, I like Wentz. I like the Colts. I like the way they run. What's great about the NFL, sometimes in the NBA, teams feel like they don't matter because they're not coastal. They're not cool. Sometimes in baseball, there's markets like Oakland, Seattle, don't have money. They feel like they're on the outside looking in financially. Right now in the NFL, your top six or seven teams, you got Buffalo, you got Kansas City, you got Green Bay. I think you have to throw the Colts in. You got crazy Tampa. It's a lot of the smallest markets in the NFL. Often Midwest, small markets, forgotten in other leagues, are front and center in the National Football League. Hour three next.